Whatever situation we're in, he's going to help us overcome. This old fleshly body is going to have its struggles and its aches and its pains, and we have those sinful desires that come from within us. How do we overcome that? How do we make the switch? Instead of being controlled by self, to be controlled by the Spirit of God. How do we make the switch? Well, that's what he's going to talk about here. He says, because, in verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, or set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally, or that means fleshly minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal or fleshly mind is enmity. It's an enemy of God. It is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. I got to read verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. We don't owe the flesh one thing. And so how we make the switch? All of our lives, we were consciously and unconsciously controlled by sinful nature. By that mindset that we're born with. All of our life, I mean consciously and subconsciously, even when we don't realize it. Even when we try to do good things, we did good things for selfish motives. Sometimes, you know, you do good things, you're going to be blessed. You're going to feel good, right? But a lot of times we did it just because of the way it made us feel instead of just totally fully giving to help other people. Even the righteous acts that we tried to perform. We did it to be seen and get a pat on the back. Things like that. And so, how do we change and how do we overcome? Well, the thing I've got to realize is that even though we live in a world that makes things tough, right? Even though we have all these things around us, I find out, we got the devil, right? There is an enemy that's real, huh? Yeah, he's watching. He knows what's going on. He's trying to use whatever you make available. And the problem is we give him a lot of opportunities, do we not? But yet, now I'm finding out, as bad as this world is, corrupted, and as wily as the enemy is, and as cunning as he is, I find I've got a bigger problem. I find the biggest enemy that I'm dealing with is rat cheer. Itself. And so what Satan's doing is looking for every opportunity that myself opens up to him. Myself. It's me. That's the problem. And that's part of what Paul is helping us to know, that we can make a switch and me doesn't have to rule. I have to overcome me, and I can. Remember, he didn't save you to just forgive you. If that's all it was, why not just take you to heaven right the moment you get saved? He saved you and me. He saved you to change you. And he's going to be glorified in it. Now, someone has said that our minds are this has always been a good illustration. I know I've shared it before, like a giant spring-loaded toggle switch. You know what I'm talking about? A toggle switch where you've got a switch, and normally there's like on and off. But a spring-loaded toggle switch would be, say, if it's spring-loaded to off, and you put pressure on it, there's a spring. See, but you push it, and it's on, And as long as you keep the pressure on, whatever device that is supposed to be controlling is on and running, and as soon as you take off the pressure and you let go of it, it turns off automatically. That's a spring-loaded toggle switch. And someone has used this example that our minds are like that. It is spring-loaded toward the things of the flesh. All your life, you even if you got saved when you was young, you lived for self, for me. You may have thought you were a pretty good me, but you was a lost me, controlled by the sinful nature. If you're not controlled by Christ, you're controlled by the sinful nature, the fleshly nature. We'll say that interchangeably, the fleshly nature, sinful nature, carnal nature. It's all talking about the same thing, okay? So, you were controlled by that. All your life, your brain has been wired a certain way. All of a sudden, you get saved, you realize you're lost, you repent of your sin, you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You trust His death and His power of resurrection to pay for your sins and give you new life. And you do that, but then as you're trying to live the Christian life, you're finding out that a lot of the old habits that you had habitually bother you. You find that all of a sudden your pattern of thinking, you still struggle with, right? And some of it is just the habits you've gotten into. Some of it may have been influenced by the people who raised you. It may be the environment you met, but you see what I mean? That had an influence on you. You've had a pattern of your brain working a certain way. And now you're trying to live different, and there has to be some attention given to it. That is, as you're growing as a Christian, you have got to purposely put some pressure on it. You got to give some attention to it. That toggle switch has been spring-loaded toward the flesh, but now you got a new power living inside of you, and you've got the ability to switch that thing to the things of the Spirit. And if you're not staying on fire, if you're not growing, if you're not staying in the Word and in fellowship of the believers, if you're not staying in prayer, there are a lot of tools that God's going to use to help you grow, and there are no shortcuts. This is a process. As you grow, it's like the Holy Spirit begins to rewire your brain. We talked about that a few weeks ago, remember? Renewing your mind, Romans chapter 12, remember that? But back to the spring-loaded toggle switch, He begins to rewire it. And now as you grow, it becomes to where it is spring-loaded toward the things of the Spirit. That as you mature in Christ, the most natural thing that you're going to do is submit yourself to be led by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and the power of God instead of the flesh. Now, that becomes the way that you should be. You can still, if you get distracted, switch back to the flesh. Can you not? What I'm saying is that as you grow as a Christian ought to be the exception, not the rule of your life. If the natural way that you think and live 90% of the time or a majority of the time is toward the things of the flesh and not the things of God, we've got a problem. You want to make sure that you're in Christ and Christ is in you. You want to make sure you're growing. Okay? So this is very, very important. So, God wants to rewire, wants to rewire our minds. And so it should be now that we have our focus on Christ. So let's look at these verses here because he talks about the end of self in this. In verse 5, he points out that those who live their lives dominated and controlled by the flesh. What does that mean? When he says, for those who live according to the flesh. When he says you live according to the flesh, that means you are controlled. And Paul uses this type of language in a lot of places in his writings. You are controlled by, you are dominated by the sinful nature. It's called the fleshly nature. The old sin nature. It's as old man Adam, right? I mean, it's been passed down. That you are controlled by that. You know what? You might just say you're just doing what comes natural. Paul talks about in Corinthians 2 about the natural man and the spiritual man. The natural man is the man or the woman who just follows the natural path, the logical path. You know, they just do what feels right and feels good, but they're operating in the flesh. And the spiritual person is the one who is operating by the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit. He also mentions a third person, the carnal man. Now, the word carnal means flesh, okay? You know, in this passage, sometimes it says flesh, sometimes it says carnal. It's the same word in the Greek. I don't know why several of our translations switch it back and forth, flesh, carnal. But it means the same thing. It doesn't switch in the original language. It all means just flesh. And that's what carnal means. You know, it comes from the old language. A lot of it, probably Latin or something like that. But anyway, you ever get, even in Spanish, chili con carne? That means chili with carne, with meat, flesh. Carnal means flesh. When some of these places have what they call carnival, what that is crazy. Before they try to separate themselves and purify themselves before Easter during the season of Lent, they will have a celebration of the flesh. Indulging. They call it carnival. It's all about the flesh and indulging the flesh and celebrating the flesh. So carnal means fleshly. So when we're talking about that, we're talking about that sinful fleshly nature that we have. It is our default mindset that we have. But if you're saved, you live submitted to the Holy Spirit to guide and control your life. What He does is He wants to change your mindset to be spiritually minded. You know, like we said last week, here's what happens. The flesh is still there with all of its problems. But there's a new authority in town calling the shots. See, before you thought you were calling the shots. See, before you thought you were in control. Before you thought, well, I'm the one running my life. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. But the thing is it's self, and self is corrupted, so really the enemy had control of your life. But now that you're saved, your mind is controlled by the Holy Spirit. And you're growing in that. And your mind controls your flesh. See, the problem with the natural person is the fleshly nature controls the mind. And that's what Paul's talking about in verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh, if you're living that way, it's evidence that your mind is that way. That you set your minds. Did you see that? Set your minds. Mindset. What is your mindset? That's the mindset. It's on the flesh. Now, God wants to reset my mindset. So as I'm saved and I have Christ in me and I'm in Him, what He wants to do is to begin through His, listen to me, through His Word, and there's no way to bypass the Word, and through the one who authored the Word, the Holy Spirit. See, if the Holy Spirit's going to move and going to speak to you, He's going to do it through the Word that He authored. We always want a shortcut or a bypass. Anytime God, and God's going to use His Word, God's going to speak in a variety of ways, but it's always tied to His Word. So I've got to be in His Word. And as I do that, you know, it's kind of like it's this right here. It's this watch. And this thing here tries to do a good job, but it, like, measure your heartbeat. You got one of those? Measure your heartbeat. It'll tell how many steps you take. It'll tell you you're going up and down stairs. And it does its best, but it's off track a lot of times. You know what I'm saying? It is. It doesn't get the heartbeat right. I mean, and I know I worked out a lot harder than that, right? And I'll tell you what happened the other day. You know, we had one of those pretty days. I hadn't started my motorcycle in like a month and a half. And, you know, I need to take care of things, right? So I need to do some winter maintenance. That means, right, Max, started up and ride that dude. And I did. And I went on about a 50-mile circle. And this crazy thing thought that I was exercising or something. I don't know, because it said I climbed like 70 flights of stairs. I mean, I had a great day. It's like, man, you knocked it out today. You know, you did all this. But so it doesn't know what. But here's what happens is in order to get, and it tells you how you sleep. But whenever I have an app on this phone, right? And what happens is when I turn it on, right, it will connect and it will sync this to this. Yeah? I got this new Fitbit, and I named it the Titanic because as soon as I turned it on, it started sinking. That's an old bad joke. I'm sorry. What God wants to do is my mind is His now. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. And as I spend time in Christ and as I'm in His Word and in worship, in fellowship, in prayer, He wants to sink my mind with His truth and His will. He wants to download His truth into this mind so that it's controlled by His word, not mine. See, this is tricky. This is tricky. This is why I need to be in the Word of God, I need to be in prayer, and I need to be in the fellowship of the saints, because I'm part of the body of Christ. I'm a child of God. That means I've got family. I need that. Because sometimes, if I'm not careful, I have trouble discerning between my desires and His direction. Did you know that? Because sometimes, and I've seen people do this, they desire something so much, and I'm like, you need to get in the Scripture, you need to pray, you need to seek God. And it's like, I've done all that, and I know this is God's will. You know, it's kind of like one of those prayers. It's like, Lord, this is what I want, and I just pray that You would show me Your... Thank You, Lord God! We don't even wait for Him to answer. I need some other believers in my life to help filter some of these things, too, in my life. Because the flesh is very tricky. That sinful nature is so deep in us that if I'm not careful, I can have a trouble discerning between my desires and God's direction. So I've got to stay in the Word for that. I have to be controlled by Him. So he carries this thing on through in verse 6, because he says to live according to the Spirit, our mind is on things of the Spirit. Verse 6, he carries the thought on out. He says, for to be carnally, same word, fleshly, minded, mindset is on the flesh, or the sinful nature controls it, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The end of a life lived for self is death. I mean, that's it, death. You're going to live for yourself? You're just going to get what all you can and can all you get and set on the lid, as they used to say? You're just going to die. But not only that, but death while you're living. You remember when you got saved, you were dead in trespasses and sins. You were dead. You were thought you were alive, but you were really the walking dead. You were. You were alive, but you were really dead on the inside. And so you did not truly know how to live until the Spirit of life through Jesus Christ, the same Spirit that raised Him from the dead, came to live inside you, and you passed from death unto life. Our baptism is an illustration of that, how that we're identified with Jesus' death and burial, but also with his resurrection as we come up out of the water, right? Romans 6 talks about that. We've seen it in Colossians chapter 2. Paul talks about that a lot. So we don't really truly become alive until we're saved. And so when we set our mind on the things of the flesh and are controlled by our sinful nature, we're just dead while we're alive. You think you're alive, but you're really not. You don't truly learn to live until you put self to death and live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul's getting at here. To live a Spirit-controlled life means true life. Real peace, life and peace. See, that's the thing about it. It's not only do you have real life and you're really living now. See, the devil will try to make you think you're going to get life another way, but all you get's death. But now you have real life and peace. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't ever have any problems. It doesn't mean that you're just tippy-toeing through the world, never having a care. What it means is this: you've got peace. You've got peace in the midst of the storm. There are going to be storms, right? But the one who was in the boat that was about to go down, when they said, "Don't you care if we perish?" He said, "Peace, be still." So you've got peace like a river, amen? You've got peace even during times of turmoil. See, other people can only have peace if everything and everybody goes the way they want it to go. That's the flesh-controlled mind, folks. If everybody's got to do what you want and everything's got to click the way you want it to click for you to be at peace, you just think of how many people can ruin your day, right? Everybody in this room could ruin your day. But whenever you're focused on Jesus Christ and your mindset is on the Holy Spirit and you're being led by Him, even in the midst of people giving you all kinds of hassles, even in the midst of pain and tragedy, even in the midst of the storms, you still have peace in your heart. There's no other way to have it. That's why you can't overlook any of these words, life and peace. He puts that in there. It's not an afterthought. It's a big part of this. So, if you're trying to control even your Christian life, Because a lot of times this gets sneaky, I'm telling you. You're trying to control your Christian life. And you know what, Lord, I believe your word and I love you, but I want to do this my way. I want to serve you my way. I want things to be the way I want them. And you can become stubborn, and then you can actually be not realizing that you're operating, even trying to live your Christian life, in the power of the flesh instead of the Holy Spirit. Try to live in your Christian life in the power of the flesh. You can't do it. You can't. Don't take my word for it. He says, because the carnal or the fleshly mind is enmity against God. That word enmity is a word that means an enemy. It's actually, Vine in his Greek dictionary says that word is the exact polar opposite of the word agape. It literally means to hate. Many translations translate that it is hostile toward God. The flesh is hostile toward God. You can't take your flesh and beat it into the image of Christ. He says it is enmity, hostile toward God. It is not subject to the law of God. So my flesh hates the law of God. My flesh doesn't want to be told what to do. It will not be subject to it. I'm not telling you this. Paul's telling you this because he said it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. It is not possible. And it is not possible to live the Christian life in the power of your own logic and your own flesh. Because he says next, verse 8, so then those who are in the flesh, those who are operating in that mindset, cannot please God. Can't do it. I don't care, you can go to church all you want, you can be involved in good things, but if you're not led by the Spirit, you've not made the switch, and you're not pleasing God. You may be pleasing yourself, you may be trying to please other people, but you're not pleasing God. So it's impossible. So the thing about it is Paul's saying we've got to come to an end of self so that he can live and rule and reign in us. Now this is the biggest battle you and I've got. This is it. This is a harder battle than fighting anything else. It's me, that sinful nature. So how does it happen? We've got a new life, new power, because I'm glad we get to verse 9. I'm getting close on time, but I'm not done. And you got to hang in here for just a bit longer. Can you do that? Because we've got to turn the corner. We've got to turn the corner because I'm glad verse 9. Are you still there? Huh? Okay, good. Because verse 9, he says, but you. I'm glad he says, but you. Now, this is true statement. Those who are controlled by the flesh, those who are carnally minded cannot please God, but you. You, that should not be true of you. If you're truly saved, you are not among those who cannot please God. You can now please God. You have the ability to do it because His Spirit is living inside of you. Christ is in you. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. All those are talking about, see how God is so amazing? You see the triune nature of God illustrated here constantly. Spirit of life, Spirit of Christ, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He, that God raised Him from the dead. It's all one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But yet they are distinct. And you see that coming out here, by the way. So he says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now, he says, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. Are you listening? Are you listening? If you're saved, you don't get saved without the Holy Spirit. He is the one, 1 Corinthians 12, who actually baptizes you into the body of Christ. Places you in the body of Christ. You don't get saved without Him. He says if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to Him. So what's He mean? If you are saved, God's Spirit is in you. Christ is in you through His Spirit, and you are in Christ. There's a connection, right? You got a connection. Sometimes I can't sync this thing because I can't get a connection. And if you're trying to connect to the Wi-Fi and here everybody else is on there, you can't get a connection. But I got good news. Spiritually speaking, we got a connection. Amen. You want to be connected? You can be connected because His Spirit is in you if you're saved. Can't be saved without the Holy Spirit. So He says, you are not in the flesh but in the Spirit. You say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold on here. I'm still right here living in this sin-cursed fleshly body, aren't I? And in this sin-cursed world, He says, you're not in the flesh. Well, I'm right here. I am flesh. What does He mean? He says, you're not in the flesh but in the Spirit. What does He mean? He's talking to people who are still very much physically alive. What does He mean? What He means is you are not controlled by the fleshly nature. You are controlled by the Spirit of God. So He can say, you are not in the flesh, operating in the flesh. You are operating in the power of the Spirit of God. You're making the switch. Am I going to be controlled by me and what I want? Or am I going to be controlled by what He says and what He wants and by His power? Because on my own, my flesh won't do it. I've got to deny. What did Jesus say? If you want to follow me, take up your cross, deny your what? Self. So we keep trying to reform ourselves. We live in a world, we've even got churches, it's all about being a better you. Well, I want to be a better me because I want to be me in Christ, but it's not just about myself becoming a better me. It's about death to self so Christ lives through me. That's how I get to be a better me, is Jesus is living in me and through me. So this is all about that. It's not about just what I do. It's what He does in me and through me. So I may be still in the flesh, and I may have a sinful nature still. And there are times, whoo, Lord help me, I hit that toggle switch, and I act very much in a way that you know the flesh is still alive and well. You all sitting there looking at me so pious and holy. I'm up here by myself. Am I the only one that sometimes flies off the handle? Amen. Thank you. Whew. Don't leave me out here by myself. Am I the only one that has to, I better take that thought captive. Huh? Yeah. The flesh is still there. Galatians 5 talks about how the flesh struggles against the Spirit. That's going on in me. So what's the answer to live in the Spirit and not be controlled by the flesh? Paul's talking about it here. Because that power lives in you. You're going to surrender. It's your will. Are you going to surrender your will to God or to the flesh? You have that decision. My favorite illustration is of an airplane. And I know I've used this before, but I heard this when I was young and I've never forgotten it. All right? Have you forgotten it? Okay, good. I'm going to tell it again. Whenever you look at one of those 747s, you see how massive those things are? I should have Googled it, see how much they weigh. I mean, how many tons? I mean, they are so big and they are made out of metal. Not paper airplane. Here we're talking metal. And it is heavy. And yet, hundreds of people are going to get on that thing and add more weight to it with them and their luggage. And that thing is going to fly off in the sky. That's amazing to me. You know, some of your ancestors would have never believed that could happen. Right? But as that airplane is sitting on the runway, it's just sitting there, and it weighs a lot. It's not just floating off into space, and you're not floating off into space either. What's keeping you tied down? There's a force at work that's controlling you called gravity, right? Gravity. You can believe in gravity or not believe in gravity. It's still there, right? Even whenever I was a kid and took my old blanket and wrapped it around, and I was going to jump off the storm cellar there at Granny's, and I'd watch Superman, and I just felt like I was super, and gravity took over. It did. And as a kid, I thought I was Superman. But gravity is real. Gravity is the force that is controlling that plane, right? But now, as that plane takes off down the runway, because it is shaped just so with the propulsion of its jet engines, and because of that, another force begins to take over. It's called the force of aerodynamics. And because of the way the air goes over the body and the wings of that plane, it creates a lift. And all of a sudden, it goes so fast, it comes up off the ground. And lo and behold, if you had never seen it before, you wouldn't have believed it. But we've seen it, okay? So it's kind of hard for us to imagine. But anyway, all of a sudden, this giant heavy plane begins to float up into the sky, and it is defying gravity. Well, I want to ask you, where is gravity? Is it gone? It's still pulling down, but gravity has been overpowered by another force, the force of aerodynamics, so that the plane lifts off the ground. I want to tell you, even though you were controlled by the flesh, and it was the force at work in your life and the law that controlled you, and even though you're saved, you still are living in this body of flesh, and even though it keeps pulling on you, there is a new power in you, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, and that power can give lift to your life so that even though the flesh is there, you don't have to be controlled by it. You can soar to whatever heights God has for you because His power overpowers. That's what we're talking about here. So here's my situation. I'm in Christ. He's in me. His Spirit's living in me. I'm still living in this old body of flesh, cursed by sin with a sin nature. This means one thing. My physical body's going to die. I can't be controlled by self, but even my physical body. Read it with me. Because he says, and if Christ is in you, is Christ in you? The body is dead because of sin. Because of sin, we're going to lay this flesh aside someday. I am going to lay it aside one of these days, and then I'm going to be free. I am going to be perfect forever. Did you realize that when that time comes, and when we die in Christ, or when he comes back and we're changed, that there will be no more sin nature? You'll never have to deal with it again. It's only during this life that we have this to deal with. I'm glad because he tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:50, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh can't please God. The flesh is hostile toward the law of God. The flesh has to be denied. That's why Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. So I don't just reform myself, I die to self so that Christ may live in me. And that's why he said flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. He goes on a couple of verses later, and he tells us, he says, wow, we went back to the start again. I don't know how that happened. All right, let me get there because I want you to see this. I'm sorry. Sometimes technology, you know what? It's got the devil in it too. But anyway, here it is. In a moment, in verse 52, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. Incorruptible. Not a decaying, aging body. No sinful nature. If you happen to be alive when this happens, you will be changed. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. One of these days, we're going to leave it behind. I want to say hallelujah. Right? Because you can make it because this isn't permanent. We are overcoming. You are going to overcome. And so that's why he says in verse 12, he says, we don't owe the flesh anything. But let me tell you, he says this in verse 11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, if, it's the biggest if of your life. It's the biggest if. Does he live in you? Are you in Christ? Is Christ in you? If Christ is in you, he plans on making you an overcomer. If Christ is living in you, you may battle the flesh, but the flesh should not overcome you. You should overcome it. You should have victory in Christ because he says if Christ dwells in you, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit that dwells in you. Now you've got a new power. Now you have the ability to do something you didn't have the ability to do. The biggest thing that I have to do is to pray God for the ability to say no. I get too many things going on. How about you? And people have said, you need to learn how to say no. But I want to tell you, the biggest thing I've had to learn how to say no to is learning how, and fasting and prayer and everything else helps develop this, is learning how to say no to me. That's it. Learning how to say no to me. It's tough. It's easier to say no to a lot of other things than it is to say no to me. if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, don't you think if He's got the power to resurrect your physical body after it's dead, don't you think He has the power to resurrect your mind and transform it and transform your life? Yes, He does. There is power in that. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. If you are, it's because you choose it. The power has been made available so that you don't have to have the flesh mindset. You can live a life of life and peace. Father, help us, Lord God, to be overcomers.